Shalom everyone and Shavua Tov. We are in Parashat HaAzinu, and Parashat HaAzinu is always being read after Rosh Hashanah, which means we are already into the period of looks like it's the next year. But as we explained and as we read in many places, the Talmud is teaching us that Rosh Hashanah is really a long period of 22 days, starting on what everybody knows as Rosh Hashanah, which means the first day of the Hebrew month of Tishrei, the new moon of Libra, and the last day of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah continues through the 10 days, and then, of course, Yom Kippurim, Yom Kippur, and then Sukkot, and then it concludes on Simchat Torah, the 22nd day. Why do we say that it's concluding on Simchat Torah? And the answer is very simple. In Hebrew, the expression of starting anew, starting something really important in your life, okay, it means the way to say it is Le'atchil mi-Bereshit, starting from Genesis, from Bereshit, the first word in the Torah. And we do not start reading the Torah unless it is the Simchat Torah, the 22nd day of Tishrei, and only then we start from Bereshit, which means the year is really starting off in Bereshit. And during these 22 days, as we said, it's like you have a very precious vehicle, and it traveled a long, long, long road, and now you really want to rejuvenate it. What do? You disassemble it, and you really reassemble it. And that's what the Creator is doing with every human being during these 22 days. Okay? The question is, are we aware of it? And if we are aware of it, can we intervene with the process of rejuvenation, reassembling? Can we be part? Can we improve? The answer is, if you read the Torah and all the other commentators and you understand the Jewish tradition, we are aware of it and we want to take an active part in the reassembly of our soul and the body together to prepare them for a really new year. Why I'm saying a really new year? Because we don't want to have the old recycled year. We want a really fresh new year. Now, it's nice to say, how do you do it? Okay, so how do you do it? You just listen to all the classes about Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Simchat Torah. You read about it, you learn about it, and then you find your way to participate in that process of reassembly, cleansing, and so on. Now, Parashat HaAzinu is very, very special. What do you see in front of you is the a picture of how does it look like in the parchment of the original Torah itself, the way Moses wrote it. Whoever is not acquainted with that, in every synagogue, what really makes it a synagogue is that it needs to have a Torah. If it doesn't have a Torah, it's just an assembly hall, but it's not a synagogue. Okay, you need a Torah. To have a real, services, you need a Torah. Okay, not all of them, but if you're talking about the cycle of the week, the year, whatever, you need a Torah, at least one. In most synagogues, you have more than one because of so many different reasons. More people donate. Some days, you have to read more than one Torah, and on the parchment, on the skins, it's written by hand, and there are rules how to write, not just the shape of the letters, but how should the page look like. Now, if you look at the page that we see in front of us, we see that on the top of the page, we have a bulk, we have a paragraph that is written in a certain width, and this is the width of most of the Torah columns. It's written like this. Most of it, like 99% of the Torah, is written this way. However, in this parasha, the parasha is starting on the second paragraph, and it's written in two columns. Okay, what do we get out of it? Okay, there are many things we can get out of it, but the first thing and the most simple and the most famous is there is kind of a midrash in the Talmud, and it many other in the Zohar also, that when the Torah was given on Mount Sinai, there was no parchment yet. It was black fire written over white fire. When the Torah was given on Mount Sinai, there was no yet, as I said again, there wasn't yet a parchment. The parchments, the Torah, the way we know them, were written by Moses only during the last days of his life. He wrote, so it says, 13 identical copies. Each tribe got a copy, and in the tabernacle, the portable temple, there was the 13th copy. Okay, all of them looked more or less like what we see in front of us. Like the parchments that you are being copied by hand, generation after generation for the last 34 centuries, and all of them are basically copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of the original copies of Moses. But in the beginning, on Mount Sinai, there was no parchment. So it was black fire letters written on a background of white fire. What does that remind us? So if you study Kabbalah, you understand that the whole world is basically, the background of the whole world is the white light that emanates from the Creator since the beginning of the universe, the way we can think about it. Okay? This is the white light, and as it says in Genesis chapter 1, just in the beginning, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Okay? So that white on the background is the white light that is everywhere, everywhere. It fills the whole universe. Melo kol ha'aretz kvodo. The whole earth is full of his glory. So what does it mean, glory? We're talking about his light. So his light is everywhere, inside us, outside us, that his light. Now, how do you reveal something in this world that the light is a background light that it's all white? And if it's all white, you cannot discern between, you know, a tree and a bug because it's all light. How do you differentiate between one tree and another, a tree and a bug? And the answer is you need to have a vessel that reveals the light in its own unique way. And whatever we see around us, which is humans, objects in a vegetable kingdom, and the animal kingdom, all of that stuff, it's all basically black fire written on a white fire. Okay, what does that mean? It means that if I have, let's say, a cup, what is this cup made of? The cup is made of clay, okay? But what is this made of? It's all made of atoms. And the atoms are made of different particles. And the particles are made of what? Energy, light. However, there is a tzimtzum. And what is a tzimtzum? The tzimtzum is the contraction that shut down the endless light and created a space in which the light of the Creator can shine within a limited domain. What does it mean, a limited domain? And a limited domain means that the moment I have a cup, yes, the cup is all the light of God. Whoever doesn't understand it does not understand how the universe is structured. A cup, or a chair, or a tree, the sun, the moon, other planets, other suns, you know, everything in this universe the whole universe is basically made of God's light. However, there is a tzimtzum. What is a tzimtzum? It shuts down the most of the light and allows only a trickle to be revealed, and that trickle looks like a book or a mountain or a sea, whatever, because relatively to the endless light, it's dark. So when we look at the letters of the Torah, we compare them to the structure of the whole creation. And by the way, we know that what the Torah is, the Torah contains all the information of the structure of this universe, the whole information. But it is like every place that you have a lot of information, it is coded. It is encoded, and what we're looking at is basically the code. Now, because everything in the creation that we can perceive with our senses is much, much, much darker than the endless light, what does that mean? Simply means that we have a smaller amount of light and it's dark relatively to the white light. Same thing as the letters of the Torah. Each letter reveals some information. It's not the endless information, but that's what it is. If you have a blank paper, it's white. Potentially, it has all the information in the universe on it. But the moment you write a letter Aleph on it, what did you do? You erased the whole rest of the endless and allowed only one piece of information, one digit, to manifest itself. Okay, and that's the Aleph. Okay, if the Aleph is big and it covers the whole page, there's no nothing else to write on. Okay, so now when we understand that, we can move forward to understand what is that we see in front of us. And what is that we see in front of us? We can see the white paper. In this case, this is a parchment. And we see the letters on it. But what we see is that although the top of this column is written conventionally, that's the width of a column regularly in the Torah, okay? However, but that column belongs to the previous parasha. It belongs to the parasha we read last week, with the Parashat Vayelech, okay? However, the second column, we see that it's not one column, it's divided into two columns. And what happens when it's written in two columns? You have a lot of white in the middle of the column because it's written in two columns. That presence of so much light is to show that here in this parasha, there's so much light being revealed, more than, which means there's so many options available, more than on a usual reading in the Torah. Most of Parashat Ha'azinu is written this way, except for the last few lines. So that's in the second column in the Torah itself. So what happens is that we have this writing is called a song, because it's written in the rhythm of a song. And we know more that when we have a song reveals much more energy than just text, okay? Because when we read the Torah, we have to read the Torah with the incantations. When the Torah is being read in the synagogue from the parchment, you have to sing it, and you need to know the incantations. You need to know the all of these song rules. Because in the Torah itself, as you see, there are no punctuations, there are no commas, there are no vowels, because you know in Hebrew you have vowels, and you don't have the incantations, because if you read the Torah, a regular Torah being printed, it is being printed with all of it. But this is not a print. This is a handwritten Torah. Okay, in the handwritten Torah, there are only the letters. Okay, so we have a few things already. We learned that we have more light in this parasha than a regular. More light, which means more energy is penetrating. And we know it's written as a song, not as a text, which means there's more white space in the page in front of us, and that shows that the amount of light being revealed during this week and during the reading of this parasha is very intense, especially that it's also being called a song by itself. Okay, now, what do we do with that information? Another thing, another anomaly that we see in this parasha, if you look at what you see in front of you, so on the right column, the column on the right, second line from the bottom, you see a big letter Hey. A big letter Hey. And it's there in purpose. And if you see, it's written with a space with the next letter, which means it's written, it's the only place, all the whole Torah, all over the Torah, that a letter is being written as a word, independent word. And it's being read as an independent word, although it is part of the next word. Okay, what does that mean? So in order to explain all of it, let us go into the name of the parasha. The name of the parasha is Ha'azinu. Ha'azinu Hashamayim. Heaven will listen to me. Like it's not written, but heaven will listen because I'm going to talk. That's what Moses is talking. He's talking to the heavens. Listen to me, heavens. That's how it starts. But the heavens need to listen to Moses? Why the heavens need to listen to Moses? He's not talking to the heavens. They don't need the information. Whoever needs the information is us, the people. Okay? So what do we get from that? What do we learn from that? First of all, the name Ha'azinu, the word Ha'azinu, it's a verb. Okay, and the shoresh, the source of this verb, the three letters shoresh. Most Hebrew words have a shoresh of three letters that have the, by the way, if you want to study English, Hebrew, the first thing you must have in mind, it's nothing to do with English, no resemblance whatsoever. Don't even try to compare because it's nothing in English like Hebrew. Okay, it's a language with a different, totally different logic than English. The moment you're trying to compare it to English, you stop learning Hebrew. Hebrew is written more like a computer program. It's not written like English, that it's word by word. So again, every word has, you know, like in a math, you have in an equation XYZ. In every Hebrew word, you have the XYZ. Then you place the XYZ in the equation, you get the word. Now, what do you need? You need listening, okay? Now, you need it in plural or single. You need it in past tense, present, or so on. Then, the moment you know you need it in active, passive, passive, aggressive, you have a lot of structure. You have seven different structures. The moment you know the formula, you already know how to structure the word and you place the XYZ and you have the word. Okay, that's why if you know Hebrew, you can invent a word while you're speaking. You can say a word because you just need something that was needed before. You can say a word that nobody ever heard that word before and everybody will understand what you said. Okay, because they understand the shoresh, the XYZ, the three letters, and they understand the structure, so you know what you mean exactly. Okay, that does not exist in English. English is a bunch of words from different languages that were put together to create this weird structure, which is called a language, English. Okay, and by the way, 1,000 years ago, nobody spoke English, nobody even knew what does it mean. Okay. Now, the Hebrew we read right now was written exactly as we look at it 34 centuries ago. Okay? And a child, grade one, looks at that and he can read it and he can understand. Okay, that's different. It stayed the same. Okay, in like everyday language, of course, you can speak differently, but you're still using the quotes and the letters and the words and the structures of the Torah. So what you learn from the word Hazinu, the source of the word Hazinu is Aleph Zayin Nun, which is the meaning of that. You have two meanings to it. One of them is to listen. One of them is an ear, Ozen. Okay, and another is Izun, which means balance. Okay, in French, balance is the name of the sign of Libra. Okay, so you see there's some connection to it. Okay, balance. Okay, what is that we wish for if we listen to the study of Rosh Hashanah and the explanation of the 22 days? It's all about creating balance, because everything in this world is made of three parts, like every atom. You have the plus, the right column, the sharing aspect, okay? Every human being has the right side, and that's why it says start with your right foot. What does it mean? You start a new business, and I said it many times, when you start a new business and the first customer comes in, you don't tell him, give me your money. You start with the right column. Right column means sharing. You ask him, how can I help you? How are you? How are you having a nice day? You approach him with giving, with sharing, with the right column. That's how you start. Okay? So every person needs to balance his right column. Some people give too much and people run away from them because they give too much. Some people give too much and then they become drained and they become resentful and upset about the rest of the world, because I gave so much and nobody reciprocates as I gave. Nobody asks you to give so much. Okay, you're not supposed to give so much. So balancing the right column is very, very important for all of us. And the problem with humanity is that most people give too little and they take too much. That puts most of us in trouble. Why? Because when you take too much and you give too little, you are out of balance, because your left column, the other side, is imbalanced, and then you are up to for trouble. So we have to strengthen during this month our right column, which is our tendency to share, to care, to help others, and to be there in unconditional love for others. Why? Because we need that for our health, mentally, spiritually, and our vibration must be balanced. Okay, we also need to balance our left column. And what does it mean, the left column? The left column means I take, I need, I want. Now, we live in a generation that kids, since they're born, they're being trained, whatever you ask, we'll give you. So we, this generation, went, how do we know, went too much to the left side, too much to the left side. And what does it mean, the left side? I really want it. I want it almost free. It may be free. I want it because I feel like I want it. And I don't want to give anything for it. I just want to take. And what the Zohar says, when you have a generation like this, you get the plague. Okay, we got the plague already. And what is the plague doing? Oh, you can't get what you want. You have to sit at home. You can't run everywhere. You can't make parties as you wanted before. You can't just do whatever you want, because, you know, the government is too weak to tell you what to do, but the virus will put you in place. The plague will put you in place because you're taking too much. You're too much into your own self-pleasure. And the problem is, what's wrong with that? Oh, nothing wrong with that. But if it's not balanced with intense giving, sharing, and caring in the same intensity, you are out of balance. You are out of balance. So now you have to balance between the two. And the third force, and that's what the basic of Jewish monotheism is about, the oneness, okay, You can achieve that balance only when you take right column, left column, and you synthesize them into the central column, which means three in one, in which you are turning basically your initiate, like basic desire to receive, into the desire to receive for the sake of sharing. This is the amazing gift of Rabbi Ashlag, the founder of the modern Kabbalah movement, to the world. That's called central column. Now look at the page that we're looking at right now. What do we see? We see three columns. Can you see that? You see the right column, you see the left column, and you see the central column as the post at the top. So it looks like a gate. Or if you have a very, very rich imagination, it looks like a stylized, if you, hey, the letter hey. And how is that connected? Oh, there was a plague, a very powerful plague. This plague changed history forever. That was the 10th plague in Egypt. You remember the 10th plague in Egypt? The plague of the firstborn. This plague brought Egypt to its knees. Okay? The plague destroyed Egypt. Why? Because what was Egypt about? Whoever studies the Egyptian culture, it was all about taking. It was all about glorifying the me, the pleasure of the body, the pleasure of the mind, which is totally, totally selfish on the cult side. It was idol worshiping. 10 plagues finally brought Egypt to its knees, and they never came back to its power. But the last one, the most powerful one, the plague of the firstborn, hit Egypt and got it out of, you know, Egypt was never an empire after that, a real one. Okay, so what happened? The Israelites needed to be protected from that. How did they protect themselves? Look in front of you. They took the blood of the slaughtering of the lamb. They took it and mixed it with the blood of the circumcision. Most of them were not circumcised till that day. They mixed it together and they put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintels. What do you see in front of you? Here it is, the three column system. The Zohar says this is the letter Hey, and that's therefore we know that the letter Hey is a symbol of protection. Why? Because it's a symbol of three column system with the power of balance. So the name of the parasha is Ha'azinu, means listen. What's the connection between balance and listening? The answer is very simple. Did you ever try to talk sense to a person that is out of balance? They can't listen. Too much noise. Too much noise. And more than that, you want to give a gift to somebody, but he's too annoyed, he's too imbalanced. Can you give him anything of value? They are not capable of receiving anything because there's so much turmoil inside. So here we have the three columns are being, we look at them and you see them in front of us. This parasha is always being read in the month of Libra. How do you say Libra in Hebrew? Moznaim. Moznaim here again, which means the scales. But here again, we can see the letters Aleph, Zayin, Nun in the middle of it, Moznaim. Okay? So here again, in order for us to receive God's life force that we are being flooded with every year during these 22 days, in order to receive that life force, contain it, hold on to it, and like filling our battery so we can have a year with less chaotic events or less chaotic consciousness, we need to listen. In order to listen, we need to calm down. In order to calm down, you need to balance. In order to balance, you have to work on balancing. The right column, the loving, unconditional loving and sharing. The receiving, which means judgment. The ability to tell somebody, oh, you want to take my house? You know what? Not today. You know, that's also left column, that, you know, what is mine, and I don't give it because you didn't pay and I'm not selling. Okay? And also, when I tell myself, I want to take somebody else's stuff, or just want to take everything, just into my belly. And I'm saying to myself, no, you can't take everything. You take whatever is nourishing you within the limits of balance. Because only when we are balanced, we can like vibrate in a proper level of what is called happiness and contentment. Otherwise, you take too much. Okay, we said if you give too much, you get drained. You take too much, you get high and buy. It's against the rules. You just fall apart. So what do you need is that central column, and you have it. Just look in front of you. That's how it looks like in the first page, Parashat Ha'azinu in the Torah. The second column is exactly the opposite. The two columns on the top, and then a few lines with a normal width at the bottom. So what do you have? Why do we need that? So here we can say it looks like the door with the blood on it, like in the Exodus. What's the addition over here to have two columns above and one below? We have another symbol that is very, very powerful about balance. It's called the Star of David, or in Hebrew it's called Magen David. David's shield. It's a game, because the word magen means a shield, but it's also Kabbalistically initials of the names of Michael, Archangel Michael, Gabriel, Archangel Gabriel, Nuriel, Archangel Nuriel. These three angels, archangels, initials are magen. Michael, Michael, is the angel of the right column. Unconditional love and kindness. Gabriel is the angel of the left column, judgment, fire. Michael is water. And the central column, this is Nuriel, the angel of balance. So when we have the three forces, then we are balanced. So why? And the moment we are balanced, we are shielded. Because can you bring darkness into a place of light? No, you can't. So that's the shield. The shield is balanced, because when you're balanced and you're connected to the light force of God, then what else do you need? Everything flows properly and you have the flow of life coming through you, and it's called mazal. Translated wrongly into English, luck. But in Hebrew, mazal comes from the word leak, which means the flow of bliss from above. Mazal nazal. Now we can go back to the letter Hey. We look at just on the bottom right, second line on the right. You see the big Hey. You see it's a single standing letter, and it is bigger than all the other letters on the page. Now, there are three sizes of the letters of the Torah. Small, very few of them along the whole Torah. They're in the Torah, they're a little bit more than 300,000 letters. And most of them are medium size, what you see over here. Rarely you have a small letter, and very rarely you have a big letter. Okay? The big letters symbolize the upper world, the world to come, which is also called Sfirat Bina. And every time we have a big letter, it means here we have an influx of additional light from the upper world. You have also the big bet in the beginning of Bereshit, the first letter of the Torah. But not every, it's not English, not every first letter of a parasha or a book is a big one. Sometimes the big letters comes in the middle of the sentence, or sometimes in the middle of a word. Each one of them has its own message. Now, what do we do during the month of Tishrei? We receive from Bina, where it's a storage of life, the energy for us to live. And that's why we have the big letter Hey, helping us to connect to it, but in a balanced way. Because again, as we said, the letter Hey, how is it written? You have a Vav on the side, you have on the top another Vav line, okay? And you have a smaller Vav on the left bottom. So we have like the blood on the doorpost and on the two lintels, on two sides, okay? The two doorposts and on the top. So we have over here three column system and the injection of the light from above. So that's just the structure is giving us that power. But why do we have the symbol in Judaism of two triangles? Why not one triangle? Yes, many times it's one triangle. When it says Am Segula, translated wrongly to a chosen nation, it does not say a chosen nation. Segula in Hebrew does not mean chosen. Okay? You know, broken telephone? The Torah was translated first into Greek, from Greek into Latin, from Latin into English. You know, have you heard about broken telephone? Okay, what happens after so many years, after so many translations, and especially that most of the translators never really understood Hebrew and never really understood the Torah properly. So it never says chosen nation, it says Am Segula. Segula means something special, but in order to guarantee success. Give an example. The word segula is like you have, let's say, you visit your friend and they bake a cake, amazing cake. You have a party. A few days later, you call your neighbor, your friend, and tell me, can you give me the recipe for the cake? I ate by you. Gives you the recipe and the cake comes out squatted. Okay, you say, just a second. What did you do special so the cake does not squat? And he says, I just want to tell you, you know, when you put the yeast, you have to do this and this and you have to put yeast. Okay, with the flour. So the yeast is the segula. It's what gets the cake to rise, or the baking powder. Okay, so when the Torah is being given and God tells the nation of Israel, you are going to be Am Segula. You're going to be that yeast. You're going to be that special baking powder, the catalyst. Why? Because what's the end of the verse? You're going to be that Am Segula. Ki li kol haaretz, the whole earth belongs to me. What do you think? The other 70 nations belong to me too. They're also my children. But you will be the catalyst to make the whole baking process rise. So everybody finally will hear the word of God and will understand that there are rules to the game. And if you play by the rules, you can reach amazing, beautiful life. But if you go against the rules and you try to invent your own rules, that's not going to work. So that's Am Segula. Segula means the special catalyst that will make it success, that will make the process successful. That's Rabbi Ashlag's commentary on it. But the Zohar says also, what is a segula in it? The word segula, which means special, but it's also having the same shoresh as segol. Segol is one of the vowels. How does that vowel look like? It looks like two dots in the top and one dot in the middle between them. Like a triangle, like the three points of the triangle. That's called segol. So the Zohar says segula also means the three column system, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right, left, and center, giving, receiving, and balancing between the two. If you teach humans how to behave by these rules of three column system, then you guarantee success. Okay? And that is the message of the Torah. Okay? And that's the message of this month, the month of Tishrei. It's all about balancing. That's why the shofar was about balancing the three columns. The fasting on Yom Kippur, it's all about that. And so why the symbol of the Star of David? Because when you are balanced, you have to be balanced in both realms. The first realm in the spiritual realm, you can be spiritually, mentally, philosophically balanced, and that's amazing. However, you have to be balanced also on the physical, practical level, which means you can't be a spiritual person and at the same time, you steal in your business. That's not balance, that's out of balance. Why? You take more than you give. Oops, you're out of balance, you're out of balance. Don't expect bliss to flow through your system. So when you take two triangles and you overlay them one upon each other, you get the Star of David, which is the symbol of these forces activated every year all over again, every day. How do you see that? 7 days a week. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, the first 3 days, that's right, left, and central. The upper triangle. Okay, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that's the lower triangle. Okay, again, right, left, and central. And then comes Shabbat, it's a middle point of the star. Shabbat means you put all of it together, and now you can have a liftoff, and you can receive the bliss according to what you worked for and you worked about during the 6 days before. So that's why you have that structure in that symbol that is called the Star of David, which is a very ancient symbol. And by the way, you can find it in other cultures as an ornament or as a symbol of spirituality. Doesn't matter. This is just a symbol. The other symbol for that, you have the menorah. How many candles you have in the menorah? The candelabra that was standing in the tabernacle and then in the temple, 7, 3 on the right, upper triangle, 3 on the left, lower triangle, and then you have the central candle, and also, that was also had to be lit in both realms, in the physical and in the spiritual, and we have balance, 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 uniting the me and the you, the us and the them, okay, the heavens and the earth. That's what the Torah is about. It's all about merging all parts of the universe to become one because we are all one. And the moment we separate ourselves from the whole, we are lame and we are limping because we're missing everything. We're missing the whole. So this first thing in this parasha is about that kind of consciousness of bringing ourselves to balance by cleansing negativity, selfishness, and transforming it, not giving up on it. Again, many spiritual teachings are making a big mistake. They're all of them, like they're saying, you have to detach yourself from your desires. You're not supposed to have ambitions. Having ambitions is a sin because you have to be like God, only sharing and giving without receiving. You have to be humble. You're not supposed to want anything. Hello? This is wrong. This is imbalanced. Imbalanced. Yes, you have to share, but without receiving. How do we fulfill our mission? Just like, what's the mission? The mission of humanity. And let's see what is the mission of humanity over here. Okay. If you read the parasha, the translation, and also the Hebrew original, it looks like Moses is kind of reprimanding the Israelites for their mistakes. It's like he's giving us on the account for the rest of the generations. Okay? He starts, listen heavens, and I will speak, and the earth will hear the words of my mouth. And the Zohar says about it, like really hard words. Okay? Because the Zohar is saying, it's not in the Parashat Hazinu, that's Zohar. It's in the, oh yes, it is. Okay, you can find it in the Sulam translation, verse 6. Whoever has it, in the Zohar Parashat Hazinu. Rabbi Chiya Amar, Rabbi Chiya said, Zaka'ach ulakei de Moshe yatir mikol neviyama. Moses was worthy and pure more than all the other prophets of this world. Tachazi, as we see, come and see. Ktiv, as it says, Shimu Shamayim Vazini Eretz, Ki Hashem Diber. If we go, there was another prophet who spoke similarly in a way, and it was Isaiah. And Isaiah said, you can find it in chapter 1, in Isaiah. He says, listen heavens, okay? And hear heavens and listen earth, because God spoke. Okay? But he was farther away from Moses. Isaiah was not as close to the light as Moses. He was not the same level of prophecy and spirituality. Okay? And Isaiah, who was farther away from the king, he said, hear heavens. Moses, who was closer to the king, says, listen, heaven. Hazinu is an order. Okay? It's an order. I order you, heavens, to listen to me. That's the meaning of the word Hazinu. I order heavens to listen to me. Okay? Who are you to order? And therefore, Lamad, as we learn, verse 7, Be'ota Shah Shamar Shama Yeshayahu Shimu Shamai Mazini Eretz. When Isaiah said, hear the heaven and listen earth. Kama baledin izdanu lishbor et rosho. Many angels of judgment came to break his head. Yatza kol v'amar, a voice came out and said, mi hu ze sherotze la'arish olamot? Who is the one who wants to shake the world, the universes? Ad shepatach v'amar, but then he opened and said immediately, Isaiah, לא אני ולא שלי. No, it's not mine. כי השם דיבר. Because God spoke. It's not my words. It's God's words. לא אני, it's not me. Why? Who am I? I'm just the prophet Isaiah. במשה מה כתוב? But what does it say about Moses? האזינו השמיים והדברה. You, I order you heaven to listen to me. And I will speak. אני ולא אחר, me and nobody else. It's not God speaking, I'm speaking. Okay? What a chutzpah. Correct? I'm reading it because we have to understand the message. והדברה, בלא פחד, without any fear, Moses was not afraid of anyone. Not angels, not forces, not the heavens, not the earth. Nothing. He was not afraid of nothing. ותשמע את זמרי פי, and the earth would hear whatever I have to say, and from no one else. Wow, says the Zohar. Psh, what a great sage. Ashrei chelko. Amazing. Amar Rabbi Abba. Said Rabbi Abba. Be'otiyot chakukot de Rabbi Elazar amar, ha'azinu ha'shamayim v'adabira v'tishma aretz. If you look, there's a special midrash of Rabbi Elazar, that says if you look at the words Hazinu, if you look at the first word Hazinu, you can see the letter Yud in the middle of the word Hazinu. Okay? You can see the letter Yud over there. Hashamayim, you can see the letter Hey. Vadabera, you see the letter Vav. Okay? Vetishma Aretz, you see the letter Hey. You see the letters Yud, K, Vav, K, God's name within the words of Moses. Okay? So Moses is summoning the power of the Creator over here. He's speaking like, I am God's messenger. Rabbi Yossi Amar, Odma ben Moshe Yeshayahu, what else is the difference between Moses and Isaiah, Prophet Isaiah? Moshe Amar, Azino Hashamayim, Imhei Haidia. Moses said, listen, the heavens, listen to me, the heavens, the. Okay? Which means he's speaking to the heavens, not just to the physical heavens, to the heavens, to the upper worlds. Hanikraim Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the name of God, all the upper heavens. V'tishma Haaretz, and who will listen to me? The earth. Oh, we're talking about the supreme spiritual earth beyond the physical senses, which is the earth of Eretz HaChaim, the earth of the living, which is the Sfira of Malchut. B'Yishaya, what does he say in Isaiah? He says, listen heavens. He's speaking just to heavens, just heavens, not the heavens. He says, listen earth, not the earth. So he's speaking to the lower ones. Okay, you can speak to them. Anyway, they wanted to punish him. Who are you to tell, to give us orders? Okay? But he said, no, it's God's words in my mouth. It's not my words. Okay? Here it's about Moses. That's something totally else. What is the message over here? What do we learn about Moses? What do we learn from Moses? So I can relate to it. You know, once I was learning with the Rabbi Nisi Peretz of Blessed Memory, was a great, great, great Kabbalist. Okay, from a long, long line of great Sephardi Kabbalists. And we were studying the writings of the Rabbi Zakluya. We were studying that stuff. And he asked, like, why is it that we need to know all of these? What's the structure of the heavens? What's the structure of the Sefirot? What's the structure, like deep, deep inside of behind every physical appearance? Why do we need to know how this universe is structured? Why do we have to go so deep in the study of the Torah? Because it's all Torah, and it's all encoded in the Torah. And he said, the answer is, what he heard from his masters, it's very simple. We are humans. We were created in the image of God. We were created, and the whole universe was created only for us. Only for us. For what purpose? So you go to the Ramchal. He was a great student of the Ramchal. Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto of Italy, 18th century. Finally, he came to Israel. He's buried here. But the Ramchal, one of the greatest Kabbalists ever, he said, very simple. Like the basic rule of, if I want to ask any question about what is this universe about, that the first rule you have to know that the Creator created us, humans, in order to receive His pleasure. The Creator is the source of pleasure, the source of light. We were created to receive that pleasure and that light. Period. Now, if you don't understand that axiom, you will never understand anything else. So, why do I need to know the rules? Why do I need to study the Zohar and the Torah and the Talmud and the Mishnah and all the rules and all of that stuff? Because, you know, when you're starting to learn how to drive, you don't learn how to drive. And in the beginning, you don't just learn in order to know by heart all the rules. You're not allowed, you're allowed. You should, You learn in order for then finally you will be able to get to the wheel and to make that car go wherever you want. Correct? So that, otherwise, what's the use? And the same thing about the study of this stuff. We are said, what's the highest pleasure? The highest pleasure is not just when you had an amazing meal and you satiated. That's nice. There's nothing against it. The Creator created that desire and that will to have that pleasure in within us for a purpose, and that's okay. Okay? But the point is very clear. We were created to receive His pleasure. And how do we receive His pleasure? So said Rabbi Peretz, when we really know how the system works, we can take control over it. We can drive it wherever we need. We will start to operate. And that's why Moses, the master of all masters, he mastered the heavens and the earth, right? He went up to the heavens for 40 days, didn't eat, didn't drink, brought the Torah with him, right? He ordered the Nile and all the others in the 10 plagues and make things happen. He ordered the water to split, and then the whole nation crossed the Red Sea. We are talking about Moses as our symbol, our lantern. This is where we're going to. We need to study his teachings. And everybody else, whatever the other sages taught, that was Moses' teachings. Okay? We need to study his teaching because our goal, our calling is to be able to master the universe we live in. Not to destroy it, but to master it in a way so we can basically, you know what? Let's start master our own universe, our own little space, that we drive our lives into a place of pleasure and not a place of pain. Okay? It's like, what's the purpose of Yom Kippur? That is always after the reading of Parashat Hazino, usually. Okay, what's the purpose? That we suffer, we show God how miserable we are, so He have mercy upon us? This is terrible. No. God wants us to show that how miserable we are, how much we suffer, that His purpose. No, remember, the main axiom that everything stands on it is that God created the universe, the Creator created this universe, and created us. So we have pleasure. Okay? So the moment we are not enjoying our lives, we're doing something wrong, big time wrong. We deserve to be happy. But the problem is, you want to be happy, you need to find the balance. You want to be happy, make other people happy too. Not on your account. Not by destroying you. Never, never, ever. That will ever help somebody. If you think that if your misery is going to make somebody happy, okay, you know what? It's going to make him happy. That's okay. That's a victim consciousness. Nothing to do with being a creator. It's against all of that. Now, so what Moses is giving us in this parasha is a lesson. Huge lesson about our job is to take control. Our job is to take control over our thoughts, our emotions, our lives, our urges, our needs. So when we learn how to balance them, you know, like this, like in the circus, the guy was throwing the balls up in the air and balancing them in the air, and you're like, wow. How could this, all of these balls? But that's our job, okay? This is, now, you look, a very successful person knows how to juggle the balls. It's a job, it's the kids, it's your spouse, it's everything, it's all, and how does it feel when you juggle them properly and nothing drops? Amazing. What if something drops? Okay, you have to train yourself better. You need more training. But don't give it up and don't go with feeling of a victim and a loss and a failure. This is not the calling of a human being. You're not fulfilling anyone's wish doing that. That's the first thing. Now, of course, there are so many secrets in this parasha. It's a huge, 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 very, very powerful parasha. And it looks like Moses waited for 40 years to just, you know what, to give us the parasha. Whoever understands that meaning, it's like you're holding on, you're holding to it, and finally the moment comes. And now you can really give the whole business to that person. So 40 years later, Moses is getting even with the nation of Israel. The way it looks, but the Zohar doesn't agree with it. The Zohar says, yes, Moses is giving us, like getting even with us, but it's not getting even. I'm reading verse 2 in the Sulam. Although Moses is reprimanding us, it's all with love. If he's upset or hurt, how can he be our, you know, role model? It's impossible. If he was upset, would the Torah be eternal? No way. No way. And if somebody says he can do it better, you know what? When you write a book and it will be still affecting and powerfully influencing billions of people on earth 34 centuries from now, I'll listen to you. Okay, but meanwhile, you know, look, Moses did something. He changed the world. The world 34 centuries later, the world is still quoting his words, being influenced. The whole system of justice around the world is still affected by Moses' values. Okay? You don't want more than that. So what does it say? Moses did it with love. Because he says, Ki am kadosh atah l'Hashem Elokecha, you are a holy nation to your Lord. And he chose you to be what? Am Segula. What does he mean, Am Segula? To be that nation that will lead and bring the mission of the name of God and his rules. That it's not God's whims that hurt us. It's when we go outside the system, when we break the balance. Then what happens then? We experience chaos, pain, suffering, confusion, and feeling out of balance. Our job is to go into balance, and this is the mission of this month, and this is the mission of this week. And we have this magical light in this parasha that you have it in no other parasha. Okay, so then, you know, maybe verse 5, come and see. Moses could hear God's voice and he didn't shake him. His vessel was so strong and he was not shaken. Of course, angels, he had no problem to deal with angels. But after Moses left this world, what does he say? When the angel of God appears to Joshua, Joshua was Moses' student. He was not at the same level. The Zohar says, like Moses was the sun, Joshua was the moon. And God says to Moses, look, you have to allow the sun, the moon, and the stars to shine. Let them shine. Leave them alone. Let them make the mistakes. Let them do it on their own. 40 years with you. You left them a heresy. You left them a heritage. You left them the whole mission. Let them do it already. Let them feel they can achieve what you have achieved. And that's why the Talmud is saying, the Zohar is saying, all the greatest companies are saying, our job as humans is to achieve that position that we can give orders to the heavens and to the earth. If we really put ourselves in the place of bringing people to the good. We can order everything. So Elijah gives the order to the mountains of Gilboa so there won't be any rain over there. No rain. But he's a human. Elijah the prophet, his student Elisha, they resurrect the dead. Somebody was already died, already dead. No, we need them alive. They get them back to life. And they were not the only ones in the history of our teachings. Why? We all have to learn to command. Doesn't mean we should go around to the hospitals and resurrect the dead. But it means that we all need to have that chutzpah of Moses. That if I mean well and I balance myself, I can do what for me looks like impossible or like a chutzpah, just do the best. And that's, I wish everyone, so this year, we will get more from that lesson of Moses, that we have the power to take the wheel and really drive our lives to a better place with less chaos, less negativity, less mistakes, so we can really feel that we are in control over our lives. And that's by using the letter H, the three column system, that power that protects us, the Star of David, and all of it. Thank you very much, and have an amazing year.